Would you stand, please? Let's begin our service with the reciting of our vision and mission statement. Our vision, to be found faithful as God's people. Our mission, to become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. If you do not have your Bible with you, I invite you to take the Bible that's in the hymnal rack directly in front of you. Turn to page 958 and you will find today's scripture reading. And if you do not have a Bible in your home or one of your children do not have a Bible, please take that Bible home with you. The Bible is God's gift to the church. We would be delighted to be an instrument in helping that Bible get in your home. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before men, or as some of the translations have, before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May God bless the reading, hearing, and obeying of His Word. This past Thursday morning, and again this morning, I got up very early and began to drive the city of Birmingham just to put in my heart and my mind the people we're here to reach. We went downtown Birmingham over the mountain. You could still see from the mountain, you could see cars coming different places and different ways coming down the interstates. This morning, there wasn't very many cars. Then went by the county jail and got back on 31 and 280 and passed several convenience stores. Then went by a hospital, in fact, went by two of them and drove slowly by one of them, well, both of them really this morning, where you could see in the emergency room waiting area, and both there were not many people there, but you could see the concerns of the people if you drove through slowly. Then went further on out to the suburbs and saw the shopping centers, and it was interesting today, no cars at the shopping center, and you knew that in a few minutes there would be people coming in. There were, I saw a cleanup crew leaving. Then came back to our section of the city where this church is located, and there were people running along the road, those who are trying to stay in physical condition. Then got on the top of our parking building and looked and saw this beautiful church located right here in the heart of the valley. And then waited a few minutes and looked to the east, and that sunrise, wow, it was beautiful today, and it was beautiful as well on Thursday. Now, as I drove that, several thoughts came to mind, and first of all, we live in a fantastic city. It is an amazing place to live. And as I looked at, the different areas of the city, I thought about people who lived that I knew of in different sections of the city, and wow, there's many loving, caring, creative people. But it's also a city, like any other city, that is filled with darkness, spiritual darkness. There's a darkness that, even though people can be kind, there's a darkness that is real. There are some people whose lives have been wounded by those who are in spiritual darkness, and they're hurting and they're trying to recover. And there are others who are wounding and damaging their own selves through the darkness of their soul. And then that thought hit me first when I passed the county jail. And I realized that here in our state, there on any given Saturday night, there are between 35 and 40,000 people either in state prison, federal prison, county jails, or municipal jails. That's a good-sized city. That's more people than within the county that I grew up in. You knew the darkness that they were feeling and their families feeling. Go by the hospitals. You look in the emergency room and you knew if you were there that time of morning, you were usually there because the pain was so great or somebody did something wrong. Somebody made a mistake and out of darkness, or sometimes just the pain was so great. When I went to buy the convenience stores, you could, you know, you saw people there. They wasn't quite as in a hurry today as they were on Thursday morning when you drove by. There were people trying to get in a hurry to get to work or get in a hurry, some coming home from their jobs. And then you drove through our area, what some call modern day Mayberry. But it's probably more like modern family than it is Mayberry. And you realize that such a wonderful place, but there was darkness. When Doris and Ray Atchison wrote the history of this church, they entitled it Light in the Valley. Because Dawson is in a valley and has the light of Christ shining on it and through it. And located in a valley, it gives us an opportunity to impact an entire region. But how do you let your light shine? What does that mean? Does that mean, now Dawson, the Dawson family of faith is located in Shades Valley. That means it lets its light shine by every Sunday morning, people coming to church, hearing the Word of God, listening, singing, praising God, enjoying each other's presence, leaving and coming back next Sunday, and after they've done it enough times, everybody will look and say, oh, that's fantastic. We need whatever they have. Well, church attendance participation is very important, but that's not what it means by letting your light shine, by just showing up and suiting up for church. It's more than that. It's Jesus who helps us understand what it means to let your light shine in a dark and evil world. In the Gospel of John, it is said that Jesus is the life and he is the light. When Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the analogies that he uses several times is the analogy or the metaphor of the truth of God, meaning Jesus being the light of the world. Now, when you understand the Sermon on the Mount, it's important to put it in its context. Up till just before the Sermon on the Mount, it had been an exciting initial movement by the disciples of Jesus. They were excited, people were coming to faith, and then John the Baptist, the one who had said, "This one's the Messiah. This one's the one you need to watch." John the Baptist was arrested. And when he was arrested, that raised the anxiety among the disciples. The Sermon on the Mount is delivered sometime soon after John the Baptist is arrested. And Jesus then is explaining to the disciples and the followers, this is what the kingdom is about. Because no doubt at that moment they were thinking, well, the kingdom, hey, we're getting ready, we're really going to take over. But he begins to prepare them and they get their hopes up one other time, and that's right before Palm Sunday. But this time the hope is up and he begins to say, now this is what it means to live out this call, the kind of believer and follower that you're to be. He explains through the Beatitudes that it has to do with an attitude of the heart. And then he says, you are the light of the world. And he explains how light is to be displayed. He said, you don't take a light and put a bowl over it or put a bushel basket over it, as many of us are familiar with that translation, because what happens? That extinguishes the light and it's out. He says, you take a light, you put it up on a stand, so people can see it. And then he gets very personal. He says, and let your light shine. Let your light shine and do your good deeds before others so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. It doesn't say just go to worship and let your light shine. It is let your deeds, your actions, your ministries, let the world see them, not so it'll attract attention to you, but so it might attract attention to the God who created you, the God who has redeemed you and forgiven you in Christ Jesus. It's a theme that at times you think Jesus wears it out with his disciples. It's serving. He says, disciples, do you want to be great? Then you have to become the servant. He said, do you really want to be at the top of the heap? Again, you got to start at the bottom. You've got to be the servant of other people. It's not about the way the world does it. It's serving. It's meeting the needs of others. How does the church let its light shine? It meets human needs. Sometimes they're physical needs, such as hunger and clothing. Sometimes it's emotional needs. People need to be encouraged. They need engagement of others. Sometimes it's spiritual needs. They're isolated and alienated from God. They're carrying a great amount of guilt and a tremendous amount of despairs in their soul. And only Jesus can take it away. And when we proclaim him through service, we're meeting human need in his name. But how do we do that? Well, imagine with me some of the ways that people in darkness, how they're experiencing their human need. This morning, when I drove by the jail, I wondered how many young men were there that their mothers were having a hard time sleeping on Saturday night. Mothers who didn't raise their sons to be the kind of people that are in that jail. There probably were some mothers this morning that were saying, what did I do wrong? I don't know if they're ever going to get out. You know, I took them to church, but it didn't take. And there were some mothers this morning who were having a hard, hard time. You and I, we don't know a lot of them because they keep the secret of where their children are. They don't mention it very often. As I went by the hospital, you could see some people in the emergency room, the trauma on their face, but it's at two of the hospitals that were drove by. I thought, you know, there's probably some people who are almost near the very point of death. There's probably some people, maybe a lady that's in her late 80s, early 90s, or pushing 100. And she's there, and her son and her daughter-in-law are in the room with her. The reason they don't go home is not because they're needed, because the nurse has said you could go home whenever you need. But the son knows. He knows I'll probably never see mother again. And he thinks to himself, if there is a God and if there is a heaven, she's going to go there. But if there is a God and if there is a heaven, I'm not going to go there. Because I know my life. It's about doing a lot of bad stuff, and I've rejected everything my mother taught me, and I've lived it out. And so if there is no God, if there is no heaven, then I'll never see her again. And if there is a God and if there is a heaven, then I'm never going to see her again. So I'm not leaving. And he waits there all night long. Drove by the convenience store, the one I passed this morning. There was an exchange happening between a lady and a clerk. She looked as if perhaps she was a young mother. My thought was she's probably a part of the way she was dressed and maybe was a part of a cleaning crew that was finishing, getting some offices and things cleaned for the weekend. And it was about 5:50 in the morning. And I pulled up and I didn't go in, but I could tell the glass, you could see the interchange. She was having a hard time explaining something to the clerk, and the clerk was having a hard time explaining something to her. There seemed to be a language barrier. And you wondered, what's on her mind? What's on her heart? Perhaps it's Sunday morning and she's getting some milk and bread and she realizes, but Monday's coming. I can't spend very much here because my kids have to go to school on Monday and they need to have enough to be able to take their lunch. They need some supplies and I can't afford them, so I'm going to buy as little as I can so I can provide for them. And I could imagine her coming out of the store with darkness on her heart and mind, thinking, wow, these kids are just small. How's it going to be when they're teenagers, being a single parent? Then as I was driving back through our part of the city, I noticed the runners and the families that were just seemed energetic and enthusiastic, and you drove through our portion of the cities and all of these homes with neatly manicured lawns. It was so beautiful, and you recognize that in some of them everything's beautiful except the marriage. And as I drove by home, I wondered, is that couple, is the reason their kitchen light is on this morning, is it because mom and dad got up to have the talk? The kids are still in bed, so they need to have the talk. The talk is, how do we start divorce proceedings? Who's going to go first? Who's going to make that first call? Why are we going to divide all the stuff? And we both love the kids, but how are we going to take care of the kids in this? And you wonder, if in around that table, how they're handling it, because you know the darkness in their house is so heavy on their soul. How do we reach folks that have family members in jail or have family people that are dying or people who were damaged marriages or children who parents cannot provide their needs? How would we reach? Well, let's just suppose that on a Sunday morning in a church, maybe a church that was going through transition, a church that's trying to figure out what's the new preacher going to look like? Is he going to be tall or is he going to be short? Surely not another one from Texas. And do you think those drums are really going to stay in that room? But on a Sunday morning, instead of thinking about transition, they're focusing on transformation. Of thinking about how God can use each member individually and corporately as a church to transform darkness into light. How to bring the gospel, how to actually be the light of the world to people who are living in darkness. And let's suppose on a Sunday morning there was at least one family, a couple who said, you know, next time there's going to be, they're asking for volunteers in prison ministry, what do you say, let's go? Maybe they read when the church that our members participate with Kairos, or it may be you read where the sanctuary choir goes to visit the prison every year, and you say, can I go even though I'm not a choir member? Can I participate? What if several people said, that's how I can let my light shine? And they get involved, and they get involved in prison ministry, ministering to the mothers and the fathers, not only to the prisoners and to the children of the prisoners. What if on a Sunday morning, a couple said, you know, a lot of our friends are dying. Maybe it's due to age. But you know, we give casseroles and cards and cakes every time there's a death. What if next time, instead of doing that, or in addition to doing that, we intentionally look upon the children of the deceased, many of whom are 50 and 60 and 65 years of age, And instead of giving them just a card, we look them eyeball to eyeball and say, I'm praying for you, and here's a book I want you to read. And maybe it's a book, Basic Christianity by John Stott, or maybe Tim Keller's A Reason for God. And you hand it to them and say, I'm praying for you. I hope you'll read this. And then you follow up 2 weeks later, a month later, to say, I hope you've had a chance to read it. What if on a Sunday morning, some families in the church said, we need to really get involved in Kids Connection. We need not only just to volunteer occasionally, we need to make sure that we're making contributions, both clothing and cash there. And we need to make sure that we're involved in it in some way. And yeah, isn't the church opening a new learning center real close to there where they're teaching people basic skills? Maybe we could get involved in that. And what if on a Sunday morning, somebody says, you know that Go Love Tell thing they're doing up in Maine? What if we went and we spent a week there and we didn't see it as a vacation, but we saw it as a calling and we kept in connection with it and we helped a new church get started or helped an existing church have life? Or someone said, what if this year I would make a commitment to be involved in teaching English, being involved in English activities over in Southeast Asia, or what if I were helping people to read in Birmingham through our program of Go Love Tell that's working in a school and teaching children the basic reading skills? What if a young couple in the church said, you know, we've got a lot of young families in our neighborhood. We talk about football and we talk about politics. But I don't think I've ever invited any of the young couples to come to a Sunday morning life group. And the guy says, I've never invited any of the men to the Bible study. And the lady says, you know, I love Moms and More and the Bible studies they have at church, but it's just mainly my church friends that go. This year, I'm going to invite two young mothers to come and be a part of that. What would happen? Well, you and I cannot know all that is going to happen, but we know one thing for certain. There will be a morning when our Lord will return. He will break the eastern sky and the sun will rise, but it will not just be the morning sunrise that you and I normally think of. It will be the Son of God who arose from the grave will be returning to take all of his people home. And we know that people will gather from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. And they will come together and they will be singing the Hallelujah Chorus. And we know it's not only throughout the world, but it'll be throughout this city. And what if on that Sunday morning, you look over and see a guy and you thought, I didn't expect to see you here. Last time I heard your name mentioned, you were being sent to prison. How'd you get here? And he says, well, somebody came down and visited us while we were in prison. And while they visited with me and explained, I saw the light. I saw and experienced Christ dwelling in me. And therefore, I'm excited to be here. And you looked over and you saw a young lady that was struggling with language and she had all of her children there. And you said, how did you get here? And she said, well, it was at Kids Connection. Some church in Birmingham did a program for families where they give clothing and school supplies to needy families. And while I was there, this lady explained to us how Jesus died for my sin and he rose on the third day and that God would provide for my need. She said, I saw the light. And then you look over and saw the guy that was the atheist and you remembered last time you'd heard about him, he was going to stay with his mother while she was dying and you didn't expect he would ever see his mother again, but now he's standing on that bright morning and you say to him, how'd you get here? And he said, well, somebody gave me a book. Somebody gave me a book and I read it and explained the rationale of the Christian faith, but it also explained that Christian faith is a mystery. And I read it and realized I have a responsibility. I'm accountable to a God I do not fully understand. And even though I do not fully understand, that does not diminish his existence. And I saw the light. And then you look over and you see some people and they're singing the Hallelujah chorus with a Yankee twang. And you say, how'd you get here? And they said, we're Mainers. There was a church in Birmingham that had a mission called Go Love Tell. And they began to preach and they began to teach and they didn't care if we were Yankees. And I saw the light there. And then you have a child and you see him jumping enthusiastically and you're surprised that he's jumping more than others. And you say, well, why are you so happy? He says, it's the first time I've ever jumped. I saw the light when I was in the pediatric ward at a hospital in Tanzania that some church in Birmingham built. And while I was there, my entire family came to faith. Are you there yet? You see, all of that can happen if we choose to let our light shine. Now, this never happens accidentally. It's the result of an intentional choice. And this morning, I'm inviting you to make that choice. Today's invitation is going to be different than any that we've had before. I invite you to take the yellow insert that's in your together. It's bright yellow, symbolizing the light. On one side of it, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And then there's a place on the reverse side for you to be able to check. I will let my light shine and will be found faithful through attending, participating, giving, and serving. And I invite you to put your name right there. Now, we're not going to ask you to turn these cards in. This is your accountability card. I hope you'll place it in your Bible, or it'll be in a place where you can see it. This may be what you want to put on the refrigerator in your home. It may be what you need in your dorm room. It may be in your backpack that you take to school, but something every day that reminds you that you're going to let your light shine. And you're going to let it shine by participating in the ministries of this church and ministries of other organizations, because we're not a Lone Ranger church. We partner with many other ministries. And so you're saying, but I'm going to let my light shine. Now, this morning, I want you to take just a moment and to fill out that card. There may be others this morning who you know that you've never experienced the light of Jesus in your life. After the service, staff members will be located throughout here and they'll have on their name tag, and you may need to say, I need more information on how to become a Christian, or I'm thinking about it. No one's going to try to persuade you. They're going to share with you from God's Word and explain how you become a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. They're going to explain it's not about what you do for God, it's what God's done for you. It's not about giving to God so that He'll do something to you, it's about receiving from God. It's about unmerited grace. There may be others that need to be a part of this church family. And when you become a part of Dawson, you need to know we're not a very good spectator church. We're a church that there is an expectation that you find different ways to serve. And we want you to think about that seriously. It's not about getting on a church roll. It's about getting your spiritual life rolling. And this morning, we're going to take just a moment and have a word of prayer. And we're going to ask God to take our commitments. Would you stand for prayer? Now, I want you to take that card. with your name on it. Hold it in your hand. Father, we've already given tithes in one form of offering. But now we offer the gift of service and ministry. We realize that just as we didn't create the income we have, we didn't create the natural gifts and abilities we have. They're gifts from you. And that with every gift you have given us, there comes the responsibility. Father, we know that line. We've heard it many times in this church. We know it's not only true when you have given us children, but any gift that you have given, there's a responsibility to use it for you. And this morning, we commit to you that the light that you have given us in our life, we will let it shine. We will let it shine in our city and in our world. Not that it'll draw attention to the church, it'll draw attention to us, but that every man and woman in this world, every boy and girl will have the opportunity to recognize that you are the Savior and Lord, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Father, we offer this as a way of saying thank you for the light you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning, we're going to sing our commitment. We're a singing church. That's part of Dawson's history and heritage. And so this morning, we're not only asking you to sign the card, but we're asking you to sing the commitment. Because here's the commitment. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And when you and I allow our little light to shine, there's somebody else out there that will soon be able to say, I saw the light. And then someday all of God's people will gather who have seen the light, and we will experience that great getting up morning. And this morning, let's sing ourselves into the commitment. John, lead us.